From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome to the program. Letting the Bible Speak today is the Reverend Ian Brown, and his subject is Something Worth Living For. But before we hear that message, let's listen to some words in song, and it's the piece entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Over 300 years ago, Thomas Goodwin said, "If you look past the world, you put your head up into eternity." It seems to me that less and less people are bothering to think about eternity. They're just living for the here and now. This present world is all that concerns them. Hello, I'm Ian Brown, and I'm glad to have your company this morning as I address this vital issue of living for time and for eternity. Before we get into the message, let's read just a couple of verses from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 2, the verses 10 and 11. "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour, and this was my portion of all my labour. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labour that I had laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." That chief man of the world, King Solomon, sampled all the pleasures available to man. "Whatsoever mine eyes desired," he assures us in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10, "I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy." In other words, he's saying, "I've tried it all." And after he'd done everything you can do, what was Solomon's verdict? Well, he uses the word vanity no less than 33 times to describe life in this world. On a further 4 occasions, he rates it off as being the very vanity of vanities. Satisfying it isn't. He wearily declares in chapter 1, verse 8, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." Then he goes on to speak of life as being profitless, full of sore travail, madness, folly, sorrow, vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon's is a cry that finds an echo across the length and breadth of this world today. Perhaps it's the very cry that's coming out of the depths of your heart. Dale Oldham said, "Life was shattered, and hope was gone, crushing the load that I bore, then out of the depths I cried, O God, he gave me something worth living for. And that something worth living for was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. There's no doubt that living for Christ is much better than living for finance. I suppose we could say that money is magnetic. It exerts an awesome attraction over the mind of man. It rears its head in the very centre of man's plans. It can become the sole end of his existence. You'll have read stories about the gold rush in California in 1848. News of the discovery of substantial gold deposits spread by means of the primitive media of the day. Immediately there was a great stirring among the people. Hasty farewells were spoken, family units were broken up, the old homesteads were left behind, and hordes of frenzied gold prospectors scrambled over mountains and valleys, rivers and ravines, all striving to be the first to touch those magic golden seams. Such enthusiasm, such effort, such fanaticism. Never did the announcement that those Judean shepherds heard, "Unto you was born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord," command such widespread excitement. Never did the message that salvation, having been purchased at highest possible cost, is available, free to sinners, provoke such a response. And yet this message is more precious than thousands of tons of fine gold. Of course, the gold rush just described is now over. But still, this world has an unscrupulous obsession with money. Men dream, labour, scheme for money, and in their crazed rush to get it, every standard of propriety is often cast aside. Decency, virtue, piety, uprightness, these are scattered like skittles below the blows of this incredible greed for gold. To what advantage? Money, without doubt, is a necessity in this life. We couldn't survive without it. It's a power. But as that Scottish preacher, Reverend Thomas Guthrie, insisted, it's a power of well-defined and narrow limits. It will purchase plenty, but not peace. It will surround your sick bed with doctors, but not restore health to your sickly frame. It will encompass you with a cloud of flatterers, but never procure you one true friend. It will pay some debts, but not the least one of all your debts to the law of God. It will relieve many fears, but not those of guilt, the terrors that crown the brow of death. François Voltaire, the French infidel who had mocked the gospel of God's grace throughout his life, addressed his doctor while he lay on his deathbed in these words, "I'll give you half of what I'm worth if you'll give me 6 months' life." His doctor answered, "Sir, you cannot live 6 weeks." "Then," responded Voltaire bitterly, "I shall go to hell and you will go with me." He died soon after, in one of the most frightening deathbed scenes ever. Money, with all of its influential clout in many other realms, is utterly unable to purchase lasting happiness, is utterly unable to ransom the soul of a poor sinner from the torments of hell, is utterly unable to act as a down payment for a place in heaven for him. Only Christ and his salvation can do that for you and I. We need God's salvation above and before anything else. We need to find acceptance with the mighty God of heaven first. And the only way that we'll ever find that acceptance is by leaning upon and pleading the merits of his dear Son, who died for our ransom on Calvary. Living for Christ is far better than living for finance, or indeed, than living for fame. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1 we read, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon." There's scarcely anything more fickle on the face of this earth than the praise of man. Thomas Campbell, Scottish poet and journalist who wrote The Pleasures of Hope, was to cry in later years, "I am alone in this world. My wife and the child of my hopes are dead. My only surviving child is consigned to a living tomb, a lunatic asylum. My last hopes are blighted. As for fame, it's a bubble that must soon burst. Earned for others, shared with others, it was sweet, but at my age, to my own solitary experience, it's bitter." Those who court the fame of this world go after a dangerous and destructive beast, one that'll take them on for a time, then turn on them and tear them to shreds. The only favour you should be really keen to have is the favour of God. David maintained in Psalm 30 and verse 5, "In his favour is life." The only person that you should be anxious to be known by is by the Lord. I'm told in Nahum 1 and the verse 7, the Lord knoweth them that trust in him. In John 10 and the verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And in 2 Timothy 2 and the verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It's wonderful to be known by God. That means eternal life. But the other side of the coin is this, not to be known by God means everlasting destruction. I read, and these are horrifying words in Matthew 7 and verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Tell me this today, is living for Christ not better than living for finance, not better than living for fame? I say it is, and it's also better than living for foulness. We could take the case of the chronic drunkard, or the prostitute, or the drug addict, but most people listening to my voice this morning couldn't directly identify with such persons who have slipped as they see it so far down the scale of sin. They might just be tempted to flatter themselves that they don't need God's salvation, for they're not as bad as that. Well, you might have dropped to such depths. However, you're still a sinner in God's sight, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you and that means I. And Romans 3 and verse 23 is the reference that tells us that. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that death isn't only physical and spiritual, but most fearful of all, it's eternal. Jesus declares in Matthew 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What's it to be for you? An empty, unsatisfying pursuit of finance, fame, and foulness, and at the end of it all, an eternity in the undying, unrelenting, merciless flames of hell? Think about it. Think seriously. 1,000 grim marines sat on a South Pacific island during the dark days of the Second World War. They were listening to a gospel message, and it was punctuated by gunfire going off in the distance. When the army chaplain sat down, a marine stood to his feet to sing the closing hymn. This is what he sang. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. That's the testimony of millions. That's something worth living for. Come to Christ today. Repent of your sins. Lay them all upon him. Trust in his blood for your cleansing. He'll be sure to receive you, rescue you from the awful prospect of a never-ending hell, and supply you with all kinds of satisfying blessings. May you do so, even today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.